Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
During the course of discovery in this case, we came upon an ordinance that I don't think has been considered in relation to this topic of the community support grants, and that's ordinance number 46-281, and I'll just read an excerpt from it. It states, to promote and engender goodwill toward the county within the community, the following are deemed to constitute valid and proper county purposes for which county funds may be used: recognition for outstanding community service to individuals or community service groups for volunteer services.
So Alex Andrade, talking to the Escambia County Commissioners on Wednesday last, this is after we had had the two-hour open forum discussion about data centers. It was largely nonsense, and I explained that at length yesterday. Today I get to explain at length what's going on with the lawsuit between Alex on behalf of a couple of the charities, WEAC First Tee, and Pam Childers, the clerk of the court, comptroller of the county, and the county itself. And this right here is one of the key developments in this story. So you remember the whole issue over the spending is that the county has the ability to spend money largely on anything that it thinks is a public purpose. But the comptroller, Pam Childers, is obligated to deny funding for things that she does not think are legal, doesn't comport with statute, or does not qualify as a county public purpose. So there's been a disagreement between them and her over whether the funds for, you know, First Tee, and you remember very famously this basketball team going to travel to state, the women's basketball team, that was one of the issues. And so the question has been, does she have the authority to declare it's not a public purpose, even when it's not an explicitly prohibited one by the state? Or is she supposed to be in what's called a ministerial function, which is basically to pencil whip it because they said yes and they deemed that it is? Well, Alex has found in his research on he's not operating as a state representative now. He's operating as an individual attorney hired by these charities to try to get the money that they have been promised by the county commission, which the county commission also believes is legal. And he's saying, yeah, they are legal. You're obligated to pay this. The clerk is wrong. And there was actually a statute that you all, or an ordinance that you all passed as a county commission back in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, that said charitable organizations are a very common legitimate public purpose, which is a practice we have been using for a long time, which is a practice a lot of other counties have been using. Well, so his point is, look, because there's an ordinance, we know it's a public purpose, but also because it's an ordinance, if I challenge the clerk and she wins, meaning that the payments are illegal and she should not pay them, your ordinance would be deemed illegal. And because state statute requires that if an ordinance winds up being declared illegal as a result of a lawsuit, you have to be brought into the lawsuit. Guess what? You have to be brought into the lawsuit.
Because of this ordinance, Florida law says we have to bring the county in as a party now. So from that perspective, because this ordinance, the validity of it, would potentially be challenged and questioned by this declaratory judgment action, we have to bring the county commission in either as a plaintiff or a defendant. My hope is tonight that the county commission would consider participating as a plaintiff solely for the purpose of saving time and money.
So what's weird about the case is that in suing the clerk or the comptroller, we call her the clerk because that's the first one, which is really acting as comptroller in this case. Clerk of the courts is overseeing the court system. But in suing Pam, if the county's law would only get struck down if Pam wins. And so you kind of have this weird situation where they actually agree with him, as in his plaintiffs think that the spending is legal. They think the spending is legal, and she thinks the spending is illegal. So normally the defendants in the case would all be on the same side, and the, you know, the issue would be that there's a law that, or an ordinance that the county has passed that's could be struck down if the plaintiffs win. In this case, the law would only be struck down if the plaintiffs lose. So should they be as defendants since they're being forced into the lawsuit, which is weird because they're actually believing that the things are legal when she thinks they're illegal? Should they be brought in as plaintiffs, which is weird because they're being forced into the lawsuit and now they're being adversarial to the clerk when they don't want to be a part of this lawsuit to begin with? So it's a little complicated, but those details are really important to understanding the rest of the conversation. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? We've got just a disabled vehicle right now on the roadway at North Blue Angel and Mobile Highway. So definitely, I'm not seeing very many delays associated with that, but I wanted you to be aware they're trying to get it off to the side of the road. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives. The History of the Blues is presented by Dan Stewart Law Firm.
World War II was over. The United States military had defeated the Japanese due in large part to the combat and support waged by the U.S. Navy's finest aviators. Despite this, there were many high-ranking civilian and military officials who considered naval aviation unnecessary and thought it should be disbanded altogether. Nonetheless, on April 24, 1946, Admiral Chester Nimitz, Chief of Naval Operations, issued a directive that a flight exhibition team be organized within the Naval Air Advanced Training Command to represent the Navy at air shows and at similar events. Selected to organize the team was Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, a World War II combat ace who participated in practically all the major air campaigns in the South Pacific. Voris would select his teammates from among combat veterans who were on active duty as instructors at the training command. He chose Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Barnard and Lieutenant Maurice Wickendall, who were his squadron mates during the war, plus Lieutenant J.G. Mel Cassidy to complete the four-man team. But Barnard received orders to Texas and was replaced by Lieutenant Al Taddeo before the first public performance. Based out of Cecil Field near Jacksonville, the team flew the Grumman F-6F Hellcat propeller-driven plane, which served them so well during the war. The Hellcat was a very responsive aircraft. Of critical importance was its inherent stability during inverted flight. The Hellcats used were basically the same aircraft flown in World War II, but with armaments and certain armor removed. The planes were painted blue overall. Yellow paint was used for the words U.S. Navy on both sides of the fuselage and for the plane's number on each side of the tail. The team trained for only a month before their first public performance at the Southeastern Air Show at Craig Field outside Jacksonville on June 15, 1946. The team's 17-minute routine consisted of combat maneuvers and three of the planes flying the V formation about 12 feet apart while rolling on each plane's individual axis. Altitude ranged from 10 to 2,800 feet. The fourth plane was used to demonstrate the Hellcat's capabilities in solo maneuvers. The pilots did not have special uniforms as they do today. They flew in their regular flight suits. In fact, the team did not even have a name. That was to come later. And how the name was selected is quite a story. I'll be back with more after this. With Old Dog Dan, we make it clear
that every child is wanted here. Hi, folks. This is Bulldog Attorney Dan Stewart. The Blue Angels inspire a culture of excellence. Abused or homeless children do not have a jury of their peers. Let's inspire a culture of excellence to protect our children. With Old Dog Dan, we make it clear that every child is wanted.
How the Blue Angels got their name, or should I say names, is the subject of our next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Bands on the Beach is back. So bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pens or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local, dependable.
Dependable.
I mean, everything. Boy, who's Bill Murray?
I've never hit a kid before. I mean, that's like asking who Gandhi is.
Who's Gandhi? She's 12.
So the lawsuit involving Alex Andrade's clients and Pam Childers and the Board of County Commissioners, the challenge is there's an ordinance on the books that would be declared illegal, basically, if Alex wins. If Alex loses. It's hard to keep track. If Pam is right that the payments are illegal, then the ordinance gets struck down. That means that the county has to be part of the lawsuit. They can't be on the defense side. At least it's an ill fit because they're on the opposite side of that issue from Pam. But it's weird for them to be on the plaintiff side with Alex because then it's like they're suing the clerk, which is also kind of a weird situation. He says they should be on the plaintiff's side because their view of the question of whether it's legal or illegal is the opposite of hers. And also because he's going to have standing issues. Remember we talked about this before? His clients are claiming that they're due money. And part of the response by the clerk is, you're not entitled to this claim because nobody's entitled to this money. You don't have any standing. There's nothing that the county or that I have done to harm you. And so you don't even have standing to bring this question in the first place. All right. So that's kind of the setup to all of this. There's additional wrinkles I'll explain as we go along. This is going to be a long conversation. Don't worry. but it's worth it because along the way, we're going to get drama. Remember Mike Kohler, county commissioner, who's up for re-election this year, has been very frustrated by this whole process, as has Lumen May, particularly, and to some degree Stephen Berry, because they want a resolution to all of this. And, you know, Pam is fighting them on this, and she thinks that these payments are illegal, and they think these payments are legal, and there's a fight about who has the power and so forth.
County's not, the Board of County Commission has no dollar involved in this. It's only the clerk's office, to my understanding, because you're doing this pro bono, right?
Because Alex had said not only will it take time, but it'll cost you money, because if the standing issue is litigated, it's going to take another issue. It's going to be take 10, 12, 15 months to figure out. That means not only time, but also money, because your in-house or out-of-house lawyers, whoever winds up working with you, there's going to be a loss of money. And he's saying, look, we're not paying any money for this, so whose money is involved?
My relationship with my clients is like it's subject to.
Okay, well, but we're not liable
but
for anything.
No, the county costs related to this lawsuit are solely related to the costs incurred by the clerk's office. I represent two private charities, two 501c3 charities, and they're my only clients.
So he's saying, you know, what I get paid is what they're paying me. It's not coming from your money. You're not paying me. But, of course, Pam Childers has actually hired Ed Fleming, who's a private lawyer, to represent her. She has in-house counsel Cody Long. She's not using him for this one, and that's going to become relevant here in a second.
But your office is paid with tax dollars, right? We fund your office with tax dollars? Okay.
Madam Clerk.
Well, as state representative, no. I mean, that's, I'm not sure. I guess what she's asking is if they win, if he wins, they're going to get money that's going to come and he's going to get a slice of that money. Anyway, don't worry about that part. This is the part where it gets interesting.
Madam Clerk, how much you've paid Mr. Fleming? Madam Clerk, I'm asking a question. How much have you paid Ed Fleming?
Had you asked me this before the meeting, I could have.
Have you paid him anything? It's a simple question.
I may not have to this point.
Okay, can we have that every report how much we're paying for outside counsel for $7,000 because it's going to be really important to me. Because I think we're in a very frivolous situation right now.
I have the right to defend myself, and I will have to hire counsel.
And you have a right to tell what you're paying out of county dollars to the public. Thank
Commissioner
you.
Commissioner Kohler.
Thank you. You have a right to tell the public what you're paying out of county dollars. Madam Clerk, I didn't ask for any response.
Well, you're going to get one. When I get an invoice, you can have a copy of it. I don't know. If you want to know these things, ask me ahead of time.
Being kind of disagreeable is one thing, being disagreeable and talking over someone and then shouting someone down and telling them you didn't ask for an. I don't know if that's the
I'm
best
just like,
look
wow.
in an election year with a very popular clerk of the court, but everybody makes their choices.
The commission's position on the law, obviously, given the fact that y'all voted to issue these payments, is that the payments are lawful. So your arguments and your position are more in line with the plaintiffs in this case. And if you participate as a defendant, it will drag out procedural disputes over issues of like standing and taxpayer standing for, I'm going to estimate probably, another 10 or 12 months.
Yeah, things are going to go slow for a variety of reasons. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We'll come back.
Come on, Andrew. We just started getting good.
I want it. Well, that Blue Angels thing takes a lot of time. Let's just be true. And so we'll come back to this at 7 o'clock. Don't worry. We got Santa Rosa County Commission drama to deal with. We'll get to that shortly. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with that disabled vehicle right now, Blue Angel Parkway and Mobile Highway. It's off to the side, and I'm seeing some minor delays on Blue Angel. But I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Voters heading to the polls today for primaries in New York, Maryland, and Utah. A lot of the national attention focusing on New York today, where some Democratic socialists are on the ballot for what a lot of people are saying could be a possible look at the political direction of the Democrat Party. The Senate passed a housing affordability bill with the aim of lowering prices yesterday. That was approved 85-5 in a rare, overwhelmingly bipartisan vote. You don't see that a whole lot. The bill would cut away some of the red tape and, they say, make it easier to build homes while also putting limits on institutional investors buying up houses. That now goes to the House for a vote.
There's a thing out there now where you can buy a share of a house.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, you buy, each house is its own company, and you can buy a 100th share or whatever of a $400,000 house that is then a rental property that's managed by this company, and then they only go for, 10 years or something, and then they sell. There's all kinds of weird things going on in the real estate market right now. Anyway, I thought that was fascinating. Go ahead.
Well, it's a world where you can put money on the weather for tomorrow.
I know you can.
All
the poly market type stuff is crazy to me. People are betting on these things, putting up fake videos of winnings that didn't happen because the bet went the other way, but nobody challenged. I mean, it's nuts. Some of the stuff. Sorry, I interrupted you, David. Go ahead.
And a federal judge has dismissed a Trump administration lawsuit over Los Angeles's sanctuary city ordinance. The Trump administration was challenging the ordinance that prohibits city resources, property, and personnel from cooperating with federal immigration authorities.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 628 here on News Radio 92.3. I will do one more because we're kind of in this vicinity and I just don't want to.
Thank you.
All right. So understanding who's on which side of this and what it means when it plays out is actually really important. There's still one big key to this conversation that I have left out because it takes too much time to explain. But what Alex Andrade is trying to get them to figure out is, who has the power to declare something as a public use? Is it the commissioners and their legislative capability, or is it the clerk in her law checking / gatekeeping / ministerial capacity?
The sole question the DEC action is trying to resolve.
Declaratory judgment action. That's DEC action, shorthand for getting the judge to rule in a declaratory way real quick, basically.
The sole question the DEC action is trying to resolve, ultimately, the real question, is what the commission's role is in determining public purpose and appropriating funds, and the scope of the clerk's review, because that's not clear, at least not clear between the parties right now, between the charities and the clerk.
Yeah, and, you know, does the commission have that power? Does she have the power? Mike Kohler?
This is so frustrating to me. We should have been able to get to a reasonable solution with the clerk on $7,000. And we're here. It's really not about discretionary funds for me anymore. It's about public purpose. Who decides public purpose? There's discretionary funds all around us. The city of Pensacola, $25,000. The mayor, $50,000. Santa Rosa, I've called back. Counties all over the state have this. We're not an outlier. That's fine that we should have a discussion. But then we decide.
And even for the last 12 years, it's been done this way. But Pam says that they've been wrong. It's been wrong. Everybody else is wrong. And a judge is going to have to decide.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. It's primary day in key races in Maryland, Utah, and here in New York, where
multiple Mamdani-backed candidates are hoping to bring their agenda to Congress. And in the Palmetto State, South Carolina, voters will head to the polls for the GOP runoff election there. And President Trump has thrown his support behind both of those gubernatorial candidates, Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt and State Attorney General Alan Wilson.
Fox's Douglas Ader, the president not letting up when it comes to pressure on the Islamic Republic.
President Trump spoke from the Oval Office on Monday, saying that if Iran doesn't live up to their end of the agreement, he'll do what he has to do. Now, over the next 60 days, the focus is going to be on resolving Iran's nuclear program and keeping the Strait of Hormuz open. With the initial agreement in place, millions of barrels of crude oil are leaving the Persian Gulf each day.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 80 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We'll check our weather forecast in just a few minutes. Well, derelict vessels are a growing concern along the Blackwater River in Santa Rosa County. And Chief Deputy Randy Tift says when those do break loose and sink, the cleanup falls primarily to the county.
Blackwater River has a lot of them. A lot of times when they break loose and end up sinking, the county enforcement does it. We have a little bit of our environmental deputies that are assigned that assist our code enforcement, do help out with those, but it's mostly a haul handled by the county.
And Tift says that they remain a persistent environmental challenge on the river. Anybody who spots a derelict or abandoned vessel is encouraged to contact the county code enforcement. Florida's Department of Government Efficiency is taking another look at the city of Pensacola. This is after that audit back in January that flagged $1.4 million in questionable contracts. DOGE now sent a follow-up letter postmarked June 16th requesting more financial information in nine areas, including city credit card transactions, emergency purchase records, and a full personnel snapshot. The city has until Friday to respond. Santa Rosa County Commissioners voted 3-1 Monday to pursue a 12-month moratorium on data center development in unincorporated areas of the county. Staff will now be drafting an ordinance language for public hearings before a final vote. Commissioner Kerry Smith brought the proposal forward. He says the temporary moratorium would be the safest legal path, as a permanent ban could expose the county to lawsuits under the Burt Harris Act, which protects private property rights. The dissenting vote came from Commissioner Ray Eddington, who said he would prefer a permanent ban outright. Escambia County is also considering a data center ordinance, while Walton County has already approved a prohibition. A high-ranking Escambia County Sheriff's Office colonel was arrested and has since resigned, according to the PNJ. 48-year-old Mindy Von Ansbach-Young, a colonel with the agency since 2018, was arrested June 18th on charges of felony criminal mischief, two counts of aggravated stalking, harassing a witness, and breach of peace. Investigators say Von Ansbach-Young stalked her estranged husband and the woman he was staying with, allegedly scratching the woman's car and threatening to harm them both during divorce proceedings. Von Ansbach-Young was released from the Escambia jail on $15,250 bond. Now, the University of Florida has a new interim president, but his permanent appointment is still on hold. The UF Board of Trustees voted on Tuesday to name Dr. Stuart Bell as interim president starting July 1st. The Florida Board of Governors has not yet voted to confirm him permanently, citing concerns that UF Board Chair Maury Hassini has too much influence in the hiring process. And it is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, 9 mile. They all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 80 degrees. Brooke Richardson has our full forecast.
We are going to be seeing a chance of rain today, 20% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 80 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields fell this morning despite fears of higher interest rates dealing a blow to tech stocks globally, while investors await key inflation data due to be released Thursday. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell over 2 basis points to 4.481%. Southeast Asia's largest telecom operator, Singtel, said it has sold 2.8% of its stake in Thailand's largest energy firm, Gulf Development, for nearly $733 million as it seeks to raise cash for new investments. Following the transaction, Singtel will retain a nearly 5% stake in Gulf Development. Indian fintech startup Cred said it will raise $900 million in a funding round led by Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, but has lost its founder and chief executive, Kunal Shah, to WhatsApp. The startup, where Meta will soon become a minority investor, was valued at over $4 billion in its latest funding round. Futures are down this morning as Micron shares drop 9%. Dow futures down by more than 200 points. NASDAQ futures down by more than 800 points. That's Your Money Now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots, he scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new Cherry Cola Pork Burnt Ends? Some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio. And finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
The board recommends approving.
Regarding that seat on the committee, we're promoting.
To boost quarterly earnings.
Every day, shareholders meet to discuss important matters about the companies you invest in. Now you can easily make your voice heard. Vanguard Investor Choice gives you a say in the companies you invest in. With just a few taps, you can set your proxy voting preference for your index funds. Visit Vanguard.com/investor choice to learn more. Vanguard investors own shares of our index funds, which own shares of the companies they invest in. Available for Vanguard index funds that participate in Investor Choice. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
From Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Mr. Chairman, the first item up is Commissioner Smith had asked for a item for a 12-month data center moratorium.
Yeah, this is not very complicated. What we're looking at is we're looking at what we're able to do and what the state's basically given us the ability to do, and that's to basically put in a 12-month moratorium as staff studies and looks into this a little bit more. And you know, I'm not saying that we have a new boogeyman, but I'm just saying it's something that we need to look at a little deeper to understand. I know Commissioner Rowell and myself, we're the ones that have the land in our districts that are probably most likely the target.
I kind of like the idea of a new boogeyman. Shopping carts for no one. Shopping carts for all. Who's the boogeyman? All right. So yesterday at Santa Rosa County Commission, the committee meeting, the regular meeting's on Thursday, so nothing really got decided yesterday. I guess direction to staff is, anyway, what they've done is, you know, they've heard the complaint and at a prior meeting. You know, somebody complained about the data centers. It's the new fad to scream and yell about data centers. Anyway, so Carrie Smith says, all right, let's look at a 12-month moratorium while we have staff study the issue. That's not a yes or a no. That's a later. You know, let's give us 12 months to figure this out.
So that being said, I just want staff to have the ability and the freedom to look into this for the next 12 months, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and we'll go from there. Could mean allow, could mean disallow, could be regulate, restrict, put conditions, all kinds of things, right? So Carrie Smith, who's up for re-election this year, Rhett Rowell, who's not up for election this year, District 3, the North End, where there's a lot of land, a lot of farming, a lot of open space where, you know, theoretically you could have, you know, it's, you're not going to build a data center down like in Gulf Breeze Midway. I mean, it can't be in Gulf Breeze is built out, but, you know, Midway, it's just, you know, doesn't make any sense. But where there might be land, you might imagine it.
When that 12 months is over, I would like to see a permanent ban, especially in the RPZ at the very least.
That's the rural protection zone, more the north end.
I know the hypocritical argument is, as we're doing this research, and I did a lot of research, and I compiled it from University of Michigan World Resources Institute and then the governor's office, like you referenced with 484, that gives us the ability to really put stricter standards or to completely deny projects at all. I realize the hypocrisy as I'm doing this, and I'm using AI to do this. But again, it's not a question of do we need this. It's a question of is it compatible to our area? And I think the argument can definitely be made that it's not.
I love the self-awareness. I don't know if Rhett was listening yesterday morning or not, but, you know, I was consistently making the case that these people are, you know, I don't know. All giant hypocrites. You know, the banned data center people who use Netflix and game and social media and share videos and go up and use their AI-generated talking points based on research that they've done on the internet. Like, what do you think is stored in data centers but everything that you're doing? If you don't give me that answer, you know, how is it okay for you to oppose data centers that you use all the time? Well, Rhett's answer is, and this is not a terrible answer, is I recognize I'm being a hypocrite on this, at least a little bit, but it's not a question of not whether or not to have data centers. It's a question of where to have them, right? Which is, I mean, that's a fair question. I actually agree with that. Bobby Burkett.
I'm not in favor of data centers, period. I just put going record for saying that. Our power grid.
Which, again, if you're opposed to data centers, tell me whether you use the internet and where you want them. I mean, you're opposed to them anywhere? It's a weird position to take, but okay. I mean, you know, you don't want people to do banking. You know, we have a data center inside the Santa Rosa County Commissioner's offices. I mean, like, depending on what size you're talking about, that's not hyperscale, but it is there.
Power grid can't support one. The main thing. And yes, they're going with what they use and reclaiming the water. So they're recycling their water things. So it's not the millions of gallons of water they use every day. But our power grid can't support one. And I'm all for stopping it. So you got my support.
If they come in just as a brand new customer to an existing power grid and nothing else happens, that's one thing. But if they actually build their own power supply, then it's a completely different thing. You know, John, I spent 2.5 hours on the show yesterday, plus a little bit of time with Jimmy Petronas talking about this.
Right.
And I just feel like none of y'all learned. I answered all these objections. And still the same people. Oh, I listened to this, the Pensacola City Council meeting from last Thursday. Ugh, same people. From Wednesday night, they were all worked up on their own power and influence from Wednesday. And then half of them showed up again at Pensacola City. I didn't cut any of those clips. It was all the same nonsense. But people learn. You know, it took me 10, 15 minutes worth of research to understand this issue pretty thoroughly. And at least if you understand it, it means you won't make the dumb arguments. Man, I keep hearing the dumb arguments get made.
Hi, I'm Clint.
This is Ray Eddington, Commissioner for District 4, Navarre.
Hi, I'm Clint. I'm against it. We can go forever. We can ban it forever. The governor signed a bill for it. Walton County and them is already trying to stop it completely. We could, too. We just got to have us four people on this board to say, let's just ban it for now on.
Okay, first of all, you don't ban a thing, you ban a thing. Unless you did it in the past, in which case you banned it in the past. Stop asking people to ban a thing. Unless what you mean is to wrap a band around it. Okay, I digress. The bill the governor signed does not prohibit data centers. It regulates them in pretty effective ways. But okay, so Ray Eddington, which Ray Eddington's not a big, you know, tech buff or anything. Like, I think from the first several months of his, maybe years of his being in office, he's up for re-election this year as well. He didn't even use email, so is what I understand. We'll come back to this in a second because the conversation gets a little weird. But like I said, we'll talk about it in a second.
John Pickens has... Imagine it gets weird.
Who knew?
Who knew?
All right, John Pickens has traffic. You know, John...
Yeah.
Somebody complimented me yesterday. A couple of people, you're a brave man taking a stance. I'm like, my job is to just do the research, tell the truth, try to be fair, and make sure that people who listen know what's going on, even if nobody else does.
And I learn a lot from
that's
you.
That's literally,
you know,
my job, you know. If I get protested and picketed, so be it. On the other hand, I didn't hear any of that yesterday. All the people were like, oh, that makes sense, you know. Why are all these people way out here on this issue? I don't know, because they don't listen, which they should. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Podcasts are available.
There you go. That's right. Podcasts are available.
Just in case. Tell your
friends. Newsradio923.com or the app, News Radio Pensacola app. Go ahead, John.
Tell your friends.
Share your friends. Share it. Be
all right.
Bold. Be brave. Be helpful. Educate people.
Yes, for sure. No accidents to report to you. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90-98. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned, Colton Wright was not at this meeting. He was at his daughter's playing the volleyball tournament, and he's with her being a good dad. So good for him. He'll be there Thursday. can't wait.
What was that laugh for?
Because I know Colton. And Colton is shaking his head at this, and he would have said something, I'm sure. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that on Thursday, Colton's going to be like, what are you doing? But anyway, we'll see. So Kerry Smith, District 2, running for re-election, says, this is what I want. And the reason I want 12 months instead of a permanent ban, which is what Rhett and Bobby and Ray all seem to be advocating for, is for reasons.
After reading into it and talking to legal a little bit more, we're able to basically go 12 months at a time, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct with that?
If that would be appropriate. Once you go beyond 12 months, you can trigger the Burt Harris Act, which could get you involved in litigation. But of course, any prohibition of any land use needs to be backed up with proper data and analysis to make sure it's legally supportable if it's challenged.
Okay, what the county attorney Tom Danheiser, former judge, is saying is, on the one hand, you got to take time to make sure you gather your facts. You can't just jump into this thing and recklessly do it. And you got to be able to justify it and win in a court case if you get sued. And number two, and in fact, anything that's going to potentially adversely affect business, you have to do a business impact study. And anyway, but number two, more importantly, there's something called the Burt Harris Act. And the Burt Harris Act is it's an in the eminent domain sort of vicinity conceptually, because if you take somebody's land over their objections. You have to pay them appropriately for it. That's eminent domain. Okay, you get that concept. Well, if you affect how somebody can use their land in a way that costs them money or the opportunity to make money, that is also a kind of taking. And the Burt Harris Act says that if you change the rules for somebody's land, or it, not even just land, but in other things it can apply as well, like you change business regulations and they can't make money the way they've been making it, well, they can sue you for Burt Harris takings because your legislation has taken money from them after the fact unjustly. So what they're saying is there's an exemption to the Burt Harris Act that if you put a temporary restriction on something for 12 months, it's good. If you make it permanent, now you got to pay, at least potentially. And so what Kerry's saying is we sneak in under the Burt Harris Act limitations by doing it for only 12 months, which Tom Danheiser confirms.
A lot of people think that we have the power to ban things. We don't really have the power to ban things. I've had this come up to me many a times. We need to put a building moratorium. We all know that that's illegal. We cannot enforce a building moratorium. Just like this, we're going to get into legal issues the minute we start saying this is a total moratorium and it'll be easily defeated.
So, you know, the legal standings, you don't want to create something that's going to get thrown out or you're going to lose easily on.
You know, when you look at it, you're looking at pushing a nuclear option, and that nuclear option of saying no more data centers or hyper, you know, huge data centers coming in here. We have data centers currently.
I think Kerry is at the moment unable to remember the term hyperscale. So he's remembering it's hyper, but he can't remember the second half of it, which, I mean, it's a novel term. You'd have to get familiar with it. I get that.
There's one in this building, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we're looking at studying on how to properly ban hyper-sized data centers versus what we have currently.
Hyper-big ones, hyper-large ones, hyper-size, super-size, mega-size, hyperscale. Hyperscale is a word. Okay. I got a good note. There's no meeting on Thursday because there's a Florida Association of Counties, and so that's why the Monday meeting happened, and the Monday meeting was the voting meeting. So they did vote. It actually is. They're going to study this for 12 months or whatever. I still think Colton might have a say about this. Okay, so now the issue is, okay, you're going to ban it for 12 months. Now the people are going to get upset because you're only banning it for moratoriumizing it for 12 months. We want something permanent. Cindy Smith.
Unfortunately, our concern is 12 months from now, what's going to happen? We definitely have to put some teeth into this. Santa Rosa County cannot have a huge data center coming here.
12 months is not good enough. Sherry Chapman.
All I'm saying is if you're against it, if you're against data centers, just commit to vote no. Commit to always vote no. 12 months of wasted staff time is ridiculous.
Now, Sherry Chapman is a Pitchfork Posse member. She's in, I think, in the anybody but Kerry Smith camp, although oddly one of the people running against Kerry Smith is Jeff Snow, who she would also have been against when he was on council because she was part of the getting rid of the wastewater treatment plant, I think, at the city. I believe she was involved in the city stuff. I sometimes forget who showed up where. Anyway, and he was on the other side of that issue. But now he's running for District 2 against Kerry Smith, and he's been showing up at the board meetings, and he says,
I'm convinced that this proposal being presented today reflects a genuine commitment to protecting our community against data centers. A one-year moratorium on data centers feels like a minimal temporary measure at best. To demonstrate real intent to safeguard Santa Rosa County natural resources, I believe the county should adopt a full ordinance banning data centers.
Remember the whole conversation about whether you should be campaigning and politicking from the podium? Well, he is, you know, because he's running. And by the way, he's a friend. I'm just telling you that that's the reality. Kerry Smith's also a friend. Anyway, so he's saying it's not good enough. Renee John Meyer, who is also running in this seat, it's a six-person race, by the way, says, no, got to be a ban, not 12 months.
Just find it odd that it's 12 months because there is a state statute that says our government can be in a non-disclosure agreement with someone bringing a data center here for 12 months.
So this is kind of the conspiracy thing that, you know, you're just hiding it under the NDA. Okay, come on now. They already explained it was Burt Harris related, so Tom Danheiser has to explain this again.
Mr. Chairman, just to bring up the 12-month period, and I haven't had any extensive conversations with any commissioner or, frankly, anybody about this, but the reason the local governments around the state are doing 12-month moratoriums is specifically because the Burt Harris Act authorizes that exemption. If you do a prohibition of anything, of Starbucks, of whatever, beyond 12 months, then you trigger the ability to be sued under the Byrd-Harris Act. So that's the reason why the various local governments are using the 12-month moratorium.
I'll go slower for the people in back that didn't hear it the first time. Meanwhile, Bobby Burkett.
I just want to say that, I mean, we beat this dead horse all to pieces. Number one, and please listen to me very carefully out there. The first time we even heard about a data center was from Social Misinformation Network. We haven't had no discussion. Am I correct, Mr. Administrator? Has there been any discussion about a data center in the last forever?
Yes, I stated in the last meeting we have reached out to Developmental Services, and we've not held a pre-app meeting for anyone requesting to bring in a data center to Santa Rosa County.
And I have no desire to bring one in. I'll just go ahead and say that one more time. Please put this dead horse to rest. We're not interested in bringing a data center here. We wasted Lord knows how much time today, senselessly.
So what they decided was to go ahead and direct staff to do some research to come back with. They're going to vote on having a hearing on an ordinance to put a moratorium for 12 months or to ban it later, ban it now, not ban it at all. In those conversations, when they actually move forward with that, you're going to have, I'm sure Commissioner Wright is going to be there. And I will go ahead and predict that this will be a more entertaining conversation because somebody is going to raise questions that the others don't sound like they're informed enough to answer properly. We'll see. You never know. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John.
I like that higher pitch. All right,
Social Disinformation Network. Boy, isn't that the case.
Yeah, it is.
I have paid for that now with 2, 3, probably about 4 hours of listening time and then cutting audio time and on-air time. We're probably pushing 7 hours already of my life has been wasted by this nonsense. But anyway, things that are not happening in either county.
I know.
Go ahead, John.
All right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to get a roof or you need to repair a roof or you're not sure, it's one or the other, but you're not quite sure, hey, Quality Roofing Solutions is there for you. You know, like 10% or so of what they do is repair. About 90% is replacement. And they've replaced 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years with a 4.9 rating on Google. And they now offer a lifetime workmanship warranty on those roofs, which is kind of unheard of in the industry. But the point is, they'll talk to you about it, and they'll, you know, probably explain, well, hey, based on the size and scope of the repair, you don't need to replace it. Or, based on the size and scope of the repair, it kind of makes more sense to replace it because you're going to have to anyway in 3 years, and the cost will be higher. Plus, you can save money on the insurance rates between now and then, especially if you have a wind mitigation inspection report that can save you a lot of money on your insurance, depending. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's for some people. And the point is, they'll explain all this very patiently and talk to you about it like you're a person. They don't assume you know everything. They're not going to make you feel dumb if you don't know everything. If you ask questions, they want you to ask questions because they want you to feel comfortable about it. I had a good friend recently used them, raved about it, said they're great. You know, they weren't the cheapest, okay, when they pitched her, and they weren't the most expensive at all, but she chose them because she'd heard me talking about them, and they did exactly what they said they're supposed to do for the price they said they were supposed to do it. And that's what you want, ultimately, in a contractor. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I think he's talking to all the people who hate data centers. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Vice President J.D. Vance has left Switzerland after initial talks with Iran. He told reporters that he believes the talks set a good foundation for future discussions.
As long as he's bringing home a big gift basket of Toblerones, all will be well.
Local talk.